Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Show before old boy is back edition. Our cousin sub of the day, we played a little mystery game on social media. Got some interesting guesses at our guest host edition. And the...
We got gotcha.
On 94.5. This, Jesse, you're going to have to help me with the technology here. Big tech. Internet picks up after I turn it off. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, and it's time for the big reveal. It is not Craig Counsell. It is not Michael Jordan. But some might say he's the GOAT in his own way. You hear him across ESPN Chicago, including as host of the wildly popular Waddle and Sylvie. Although I don't understand why his Twitter handle is Waddle and Sylvie, because he's only Sylvie. It is Mark Silverman. Sylvie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You know, you guys are opening the door right away with the Wisconsin jokes with the internet going out right away. Like, are you on the dial-up internet? It's still in Wisconsin.
So I know you're fascinated by big tech, like the guy that's usually in your role. So apparently, this fantastic app that allows me to do the show from literally anywhere. I could be doing it from your basement or wherever you are.
Yeah.
But if you are connected to the Lambeau Field Wi-Fi, it doesn't work. You got to be connected to like LTE or 4G cellular technology. So my phone just randomly picked up the internet after I thought I had turned it off. So that's all. It was a minor blip, a temporary setback for a major comeback with one of my favorite people. Now, here's the thing. You're already rubbing me the wrong way.
All right.
Because, again, you know what high regard I hold you in.
Yeah.
But you've already, I mean, first of all, you put it on social media before discussing it. I am so down on social media. And now you're like making pronouncements on social media before you even inform me personally, directly. You've put a ban in on Craig Counsell, Brewers, and Cubs talk.
Yes.
And here's why I have an
that
issue
was one,
with that.
That was one of the parameters that I would do the show. That there would not be any Craig Counsell Cubs 11 games back behind the Brewers talk. That mm-hmm. I would not come on the station and rant how I don't think Craig Counsell is the manager that I thought he was going to be from afar watching him in Milwaukee all these years. I would not come on the station today and talk about that at all.
Okay.
Tell us more.
Tell us, yes. Tell us more about that, how you're not going to talk about it.
That was Jesse. Jesse and I worked this out behind the scenes.
Okay.
This has been banned. This is, he said that was okay, that I could, was all right for this to not be broached at all, that this guy just stands on the rail and just watches the team go down in flames for $40 million while Pat Murphy, his mentor, maybe was the guy all along really doing all the dirty work.
11 games back, last place, NL Central. That's tough. We're not going to talk about that. Yeah.
An unexpected allegiance between Sylvie and Jesse, who has been absolutely killing Craig Counsell ever since he left. Benedict Counsell. What else have you had on your I hate Craig Counsell repertoire, Jesse?
Because public it's enemy been number one. He was public enemy number one. He was public enemy number one in October. He's public enemy number one now. It's just, you know, it's fun when your enemies are in last place and, you know, sellers at the trade deadline while the Brewers are buying starting pitching from in the division, making a run at it. You know, that's
see, this is why this coming? Is why I decided to ban it.
I'm seeing that now. I'm understanding that. Despite your ban.
Yeah,
I do, because you are one of the many things that is great about you is that you are light years ahead of me in knowing what the hell you're doing on the radio, but you manage to balance, like, because you're a fan and I'm not, so you manage to balance your passions of being a fan with being someone who makes reasoned arguments. You're not just this hot take artist that Chicagoans go to when they want. I mean, that's the cap, man. But
yes, exactly.
I would say this, like, in this instance, you came out blazing, and I did not expect the allegiance between you and Jesse. So you're that down on Counsell that you have already said he's not, in the words of Denny Green, he's not who we thought he was, and this is going to ultimately just be a failure. That's where you're at.
Well, now you're going a step too far. I'm joking. For those who don't know me well, you know, there's nothing that I ban, and there's nothing that I would never talk about. I talk about everything. I talk about my personal life. I talk about demons and stuff like that. So to talk about my Cubs that I've been a diehard fan of since I was like 5 years old, I'm 52. And like you said, Wildy, I am a guy who has covered the Cubs. I have covered many games. I used to work for the Cubs Radio Network before I worked for ESPN. But I've never lost the passion of rooting for my teams, but I've never been just a homer. And I know we're going to talk to Homer. I've never been a homer where I'm just rooting for them to win, and I view them through rose-colored glasses. I always look at things through a skeptical eye. And I start giving new guys the benefit of the doubt. And I was very excited when the Cubs got Craig Counsell, because I did watch him from afar, but I didn't watch him closely. And I always thought that he would be a guy with a chip on his shoulder. I always thought he was a guy that would kind of be the underdog type of manager. And it was sold to us that he was going to win with yours and he was going to win with theirs. And now he's not winning with anybody. And the players have underachieved, and Jed is underachieved. And when they sat and they did this, what Jesse's pissed about, Benedict Counsell, and they sat in Jed's kitchen and they hammered out this deal. If I would have gone into that kitchen and I'm Jesse Nelson and told them and trolled them and said, guys, you're working out this deal, but let me tell you, at the trade deadline on July 30th, you're going to be sitting there 11 games back. No one would have believed you. And I wouldn't have believed you as a Cubs fan, never in my wildest dreams. So the Cubs players, and this is what I've hammered on my show, that while Cubs players have underachieved, for sure, Dansby Swanson, you didn't sign him for $170 million to to hit 210 and hit 9 home runs. You know, Mallory Swanson is probably going to score more goals in the Olympics than he's going to hit home runs. That's a whole different story. But, you know, and Jed left that bullpen really bad. But I want to know, where is the improvement from within because of the manager? I was promised that. And Craig Counsell hasn't given them an edge. Well, I can't cite one move, Wildy, that Craig Counsell has done this year, culture-wise, move-wise, where he has given the Cubs any sort of advantage. Meantime, Pat Murphy, who's been his bench coach, who was his college coach, has your team rolling.
Jesse, as the resident Brewers fan, your response.
It is just a shame that, you know, this rivalry didn't have the top two teams in the division this year battling it out down to the finish line. It's just too bad that the Cubs are in the position that they're in, given the circumstances of what the offseason brought them. Sylvie's right. I didn't think the Cubs would be in last place in the NL Central at the trade deadline this year. There's no way I thought that was going to be the case. I thought the Cubs would be good. That's part of what, you know, fueled the fire when Craig Counsell went there. And now to see them trade Christopher Morel and for them to be sellers at the deadline and building for the future while the Brewers, and that's, you know, I don't know which is more surprising, the fact that the Cubs are in last place in the division after the offseason they had, or the Brewers are in first place with all the injuries they've had, with the players that have left town, with the manager bailing on the team after because he wants a new challenge, even though he's never been to a World Series as a manager. Can't believe that either team is in the position that they're in. It's awesome that it played out this way this year, and I just hope that the Brewers hang on and make it to the playoffs, win the division, and this will be a special season that'll be remembered for a very long time.
Oh, it stinks to hear him gloat.
It does. It's obnoxious.
But he's right. It's obnoxious. But I got to admit, like, I'm shocked.
So Jesse there said something that will segue into the topic that I was really eager to get to with you. He said it's a surprise that they're not the top two teams in the division. I want the Packers and the Bears to be the top teams in the NFC North. I want to see Love versus Caleb, as your shirt says. And somebody must be making those because someone had a Jordan one. A kid had a Jordan one at camp yesterday that I saw. I want to see Caleb versus Jordan, Williams versus Love. I want that to be like Brady versus Manning, except even more frequently than we had Brady versus Manning. So that's what I want to talk about next with Sylvie. I want to know if Sylvie is in my club. I'm going to ask him to be in my club. I am going to extend an invitation. Not being a fan, I have taken a lot of heat for this opinion. Packers fans do not like it when I say this, so I'm going to keep doing it because it's kind of fun when that happens. So I will make that request of Sylvie coming up after we hear from Tausch, and it's a sad day here because it's the end of the month. It means it's the last time we will hear that wonderful dad joke as part of our Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Gonna miss
read.
It.
So here is Tausch, and we'll have more with Sylvie, our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs. We believe in better. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And now is the time for a bad dad joke.
What did the window say when it was arrested? I was framed.
All right. Well, dad jokes aside, my mind is on windows because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has a fantastic deal going on right now. Pay as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Pella completes the installation with no mess, no hassle, and no bad dad jokes, leaving nothing but perfect results behind. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on July 31st. Visit PellaWI.com today to get started.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Mark Silverman, does anyone call you that?
Oh, yeah, it's my name.
Yeah, Mark Tauscher is Mark Tauscher's name, but anytime anyone calls him anything other than Tausch, they get kind of a sideways look, and I feel like Sylvie falls under the same category.
Sure. Like, if someone does mark me, you know, if I hear Mark, it is, I do sometimes do double take wondering, are you talking to another Mark in the room? Because usually people do call me Sylvie, but that is my name, so I will absolutely respond to it.
I think we should get Mark Tauscher, Mark Silverman, and Mark Chimura all in the same room, and then have people shouting the name Mark and see if anybody actually looks. Because none of you go by that, generally speaking. All right, we're already getting some text messages to the talk and text line, 844-770-3776.
How much hate? How much hate?
I think this is not hate. Gerard in Canton, Ohio. Can we get Sylvie a Packers shirt instead of the Caleb one? Maybe like a Cutler or Trubisky shirt.
I had plenty of Cuddy swag. You know, like you did the Rodgers show. We did the Cuddy show. Mm-hmm. And I was, for many years, a big Cuddy apologist. So, you know, I had many texts. If you would dig up the Sylvie texts from years past when he would throw three or four interceptions in a game, like there was a San Francisco game, and there were many. I have a good Packer story in there too, and I know you want to get to your topic, but after like a big nationally televised 49er game, I texted Waddle and I'm like, what the hell am I going to say tomorrow? You know, like I've been going to bat for this guy. What am I going to say? And then I forget if it was the opener. I think it was the opener at Lambeau. And I'm trying to think if I've told you this story or if it was just an earlier game when he threw the three or four interceptions and it was the game where he pushed Jamarcus Webb. I sat with Jay Cutler's parents in the back row of the end zone of Lambeau Field. It was, at the time, my wife, she was my fiance at the time. This was around 2012, 2011, okay. 2020. So you could probably dig up the box score. Woodson said, like, we knew we were going to get.
He'd throw it to us.
Yeah, he'd throw it to us. And, you know, Waddle and I were on during the middays then, and we got together with Cuddy's parents, and his mom was mad at me because I picked the Packers on the air. Said that the Packers would win. So she was pissed at me. And so we ended up tailgating with them. And we sat with them. And he had the really bad game. And I said, after like the third interception or whatever in the mid-fourth quarter, I whispered to my wife, I said, it's time to go. And she looked at me. She goes, okay, let's say goodbye. I go, no, we're not saying goodbye. Let's get the hell out of here.
So. It was September 2012. We don't need luck. Jay will throw it. Throw us the ball.
Yes.
All right. So I think it's instructive, though, that you bring up Jay Cutler. Because, and this has always been my thing, is that it would have been great, in my opinion, if Jay Cutler had been better. And that, because look at Aaron Rodgers' career, and I don't want to get into kind of where he's at now and some of the stuff that ruffles people's feathers when our show turns to that topic. This is not an Aaron Rodgers topic. But when you look at Aaron Rodgers and his time in Green Bay, who was his quarterbacking rival? Like, Jay Cutler's the closest thing to it, right? Like, Matthew Stafford? No. Like, there was none. There really was none. And that was because, for most of his time, there were certain moments where teams in the division had decent or good quarterbacking, but not for extended periods. And obviously, Jay would be the example. And so, from a storyteller's perspective, I've said this, Tausch teases me. I really like Jordan Love. I'm definitely not rooting against him, but it's not my job to root for him, right? I've been doing this. This is season 29. I am not a fan. I am here to tell you what happens, try to interpret it, help you as a fan, good, bad, indifferent, to work through however you're feeling about the Packers. That's what I do. That's my style of this job. But there is one thing that I'm rooting for because of the story that it will create, and that is that the guy on your shirt and the guy that just got $220 million from the Packers, or $155 million of it anyway, guaranteed, that they're both good simultaneously. And I understand that Packers fans love having the superiority on you and your Chicago fan brethren. But I don't find that to be compelling. Matt LaFleur is 10-0 against the Bears. He's been the coach for 5 years. He's won all 10 games. That is not compelling to me. What's compelling is having two of the – if Caleb Williams is what we have been told he will become, what is compelling to me is these guys playing each other twice a year, playing each other late in the season with the division on the line or the number one seed in the NFC on the line, and having Packers fans and Bears fans being on the edge of their seats in the final 2 minutes of games. So there can be moments like Patrick Mahomes and with the Bills,
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen going back and forth. Those games, or Burrow, right? Those games where Mahomes gets him the lead and then Josh Allen takes the lead back and then Mahomes goes and wins the game. That's what I want from Packers-Bears. As a Bears fan, I assume you would sign up for that because it would mean your quarterback would be good and the other people that were mentioned in Jerry Odd's text were not consistently good. But are you on board with that or are you not in my club?
What kind of alcohol do you have in the club? You have top shelf alcohol? I mean, a lot depends on that.
We have bubbler drinks. We have non-alcoholic beer.
But then hell no. Then I'm not in your club. So again, you're coming at this from a journalist. You're coming at this from a storyteller. As a fan, I'm coming at this as a fan. And Packer fans are coming at you as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
What I would root for is that you guys completely overpaid a quarterback for 10 good games and that he was a flash in the pan. Who was the Knicks player who had like that 2 week run?
Jeremy Lin.
Linsanity.
Linsanity. So I'm rooting for the Jordan Love. Love sanity was Linsanity, and that these 10 games were sort of just a mirage. And he is going to not only fall on his face, but you overpaid him prematurely to fall on his face. And now the script gets flipped and we go back to the 80s and the Bears dominate the rivalry and the Bears go 28-3 in the next 31 games. Why would I root for both of the teams to be great? Because that means you're winning half the games and I'm winning half the games. Like I know
it's more than you have been.
I know you're like, look,
sounds like a big win.
It does. Like if you're telling me on one hand that Caleb Williams will be up to the task and he's going to make this rivalry compelling in that alone, I'm signing up for that club. But if you're telling me you get to write your ticket to any club you're opening, I'm going to tell you, and I think Packer fans would agree, why would Packer fans want Caleb Williams to be great? Packer fans want to continue to dominate the rivalry, and they want Caleb Williams to be Mitch Trubisky, to be Jay Cutler, to be Rex Grossman, to be Cade McNown. They want to continue the dominance because winning is fun, and they like to continue to make fun of Chicago and come to the Dells and come to Lake Geneva and come and enjoy our tourism and enjoy our summers and then get your ass whipping twice a year. Like, that's what Packer fans would want. For me as a Bears fan, I don't want it to be even. The Waddle and I always talk about this. If you could, I'm never rooting for an injury, but like the old saying, in order to be the best, you've got to beat the best. No, I want the easiest route to win a championship. And if that includes luck along the way of guys getting hurt, give me the luck and give me the easiest way through. So, Wilde, that's a long, breathy way of saying I will not pay high dues and an initiation fee to sign up for your club.
I understand. That's very fair. Again, not to rub it in, but if they were splitting their next 10 matchups,
I know.
That would be a major upgrade for you. I guess for me, my thought process is, even if you're not a journalist, a storyteller who wants to tell good stories, if you're just someone who enjoys exciting football,
yes,
I think there is an adrenaline, an ecstatic feeling. By the way, how pathetic is it that I couldn't remember Josh Allen's name, but I had Jeremy Lin holstered ready
that,
to go?
But we're getting old. That's the thing, right? I mean, that happens all the time to me. There are names that I can't recall, and then I can talk about things from the 1984 Cubs.
I can drop a Gary Fensick, but I can't. Yeah,
yeah.
I felt so dumb. I was at the bank yesterday. I couldn't remember my social security number.
Oh, boy.
They were just like, what's your social? I'm like, and I'm like, I just totally drew a blank. And I remembered it like a minute later. I froze.
You're not old enough to have that kind of thing happening to you, Jesse.
Sad. It was bad.
So I guess my thought process, and I know we need to get to Homer, but I want to ask him because I first floated this trial balloon on his show, and that was where I got some less than stellar feedback for it. But there is something about games that go down to the wire. There is something about back and forth games that during those 3 hours, it is so compelling and fun, whether you're a fan or whether you're a guy sitting seven floors up in the press box covering it. There is a euphoria that comes with that type of game. And you know, the Packers-Bears have had very few of those.
There was nothing better than getting ready for the 2011 NFC Championship game. It was in the 2010
Agreed.
Season.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to dominate that game. You don't want to be on the losing end of it. The end of the season for the division game that, again, the Packers won at Soldier Field. Like, the hype going into those games is awesome for the fan base. So, yes, being good for these two fan bases would be spectacular, but you still want to dominate. Like, and I know you said we got to get to Homer, but for me as a journalist and a fan, I would want the Cubs and the White Sox to be good at the same time. That's different. I'm not rooting for the Packers to be good, too. I want to dominate the rivalry if I'm coming at it as a fan perspective. But it is fun to hype up a rivalry when both teams are good as long as you're winning that rivalry twice a year.
Yeah, and you're right. And certainly Cubs-White Sox simultaneously being good, which apparently it's the opposite right now.
And it never happens, yeah.
Would be, at least, you know, they're not in the same division. They're playing some interleague games, but that's it. And you can actually root for them all the way to the World Series.
Yes.
Which is not how, obviously, this scenario works. All right. Homer's going to side with you. I can't imagine him being on board with me. He's going to say that he wants the Packers to keep kicking the Bears' ass. We'll see if that's actually true as he is scheduled to appear next. Want to remind you, though, that the next edition of Behind the Bucks is here on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. Behind the Bucks, Going for Gold, features Bucks stars sharing experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics. I see there's a former Buck playing right now, my guy Drew Holiday. From battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals for all the glory of a gold medal, Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Find it on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Time now for Uncle Homer. He joins us next. It's Waddle, Sylvie, Wilde, Tausch, some combination of that. So stick around.
Like, share, and follow ESPN Madison. everywhere. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok for more great content from ESPN Madison. This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Before we get to Homer, plus an opportunity to play Duke Tomato for a little while longer. See, here's why I'm here. I'm here to bring people together. That's what I do. I bring people together. I'm a connector. From our friend Kyle Cousineau, the unofficial mayor of Green Bay and the star of the TNT Shameless documentary on Brett Favre, along with Dylan Tomlinson. I never thought I'd find myself agreeing with a Bears fan, but I'm with Sylvie's premise of wanting my team to continue to dominate their rival, just like the Packers have done to the Bears for 30 years.
Yeah.
See? It's great to have people coming together in disagreement with me. Speaking of someone that I enjoy disagreeing with from time to time, it is the GOAT of Wisconsin Sports Talk Radio. You hear him on the Homer Hour every weekday, 5 to 6. You hear him on the Marquette Men's Basketball Radio Network, and you can check him out on YouTube doing God Talk with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. You don't need me. I agree with everything Sylvie said. Just let him take the whole time.
Wow.
He's 1,000% correct.
So
all I want is anything that makes it easiest for the Packers to win a championship. I really don't spend one second worrying about the Bears. Other than that, since they're in the division, you'd want to win them because then you get a home playoff game. But they can be good. They can win whatever. I don't care if they win. I don't care if they go 15-0 if the Packers win a championship, but that would make it harder for the Packers. So I've never understood why. I mean, I understand why you want a close game. But you know what is compelling? You know what is compelling, Jason? Start working on the article. 11-0. For Matt LaFleur against the Bears. Now, that's compelling. Work on that now, because you know it's going to be possible.
It's not. It's not compelling.
Has anybody ever been 11-0? Has any Green Bay coach ever, even the great Vince Lombardi, ever been 11-0 against the Bears?
Against the Bears? I don't think so. No.
Or any team. This is the greatest achievement of the Packers against another team in the history of the team. How compelling? How could you be more compelling than that?
Yeah.
Homer, does everyone love LaFleur now? Like a year ago, when I was tuning into Packers talk, a lot of you Packer fans didn't love LaFleur, though.
Right. What has he done?
You just said he's one of the greatest achievements ever.
Well, that, yes. But that's just compelling for that game.
Is beating the Bears really that great of an achievement?
It's more compelling to have a close game between the Bears and the Packers. No, for that game, when they enter that game this year, Matt LaFleur has a chance to continue the greatest run in the history of the Packers. Now, granted, it's regular season, so there's a limit to how great that is. But still, it's the greatest run ever against any team in the history of the Green Bay Packers. Is that not compelling for a regular season game? No, how could you do better than that?
Because that's a storyline going into the game. But when the game – here's what I'm not understanding. And again, I understand that people don't understand me, okay? I know that's a lot of the use of the word understand in one sentence, but it's
now
true.
Now I got to see – now. So now it's not leading into the game. I just told you this is the greatest compelling lead into a regular season game. So now if they lose, then you have this incredible – it's over after 10, and if they win – they have continued the greatest run against another team in the history of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I the Bears, there's a song that sings so eloquently, the Bears still suck, right? Like, the idea of
that would be a good part of it if the Packers make it 11-0, yeah.
Like, you do Marquette men's basketball games. You've done it for how many years now? 25, 30 years, however, you were there for like Al McGuire.
35 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
So back when the early games of a college basketball season were, well, first of all, you played like Marathon Oil and Athletes in Action.
Oh, yeah.
That is correct. Yes. Yep. That's correct. And the exhibition game.
And I mean, I'm not saying that the Bears are marathon oil or athletes in action, but
what
they're
are,
not.
What are you actually saying? What are you actually saying?
I'm saying that when
this is getting compelling now. This is getting compelling now.
I'm glad. So when Alabama A&M or some directional school that you would have no it when they come in and Marquette or Wisconsin or Southern Illinois. I guess Southern Illinois was kind of one of the teams you'd bring in to win those games. But
got my Saluki hat on right now, too.
I know. I know your bio.
Missouri Valley.
But who?
Dick Garrett, baby. Remember him.
Yeah, I know
him. You see him at all the games.
Sure.
But who?
Greatest basketball player in the arena when Marquette's playing.
But who cares about those games? What's compelling about those early season college basketball games? Nothing.
I mean,
nothing.
You make my point. That's why to have a storyline like you have with the Bears would make it compelling. I think, for example, it's like when Marquette played UWM or Milwaukee. I don't think they've ever lost to them, but so that became the compelling part. Yeah, it's a great. Otherwise, you're right. Just a meaningless game. You're looking for a storyline. I've already given you have the storyline. You can write the story now. How many months before the game? And you can anticipate what the post is going to be.
I don't think you understand how my job works, but that's fine.
But Wilde, here's the difference. Like it's with your analogy, and I'm hoping this changes this year because every year I go on the air and I say, and I on the pregame show this year, this was our first year as the Bears radio network, mm-hmm. and Soldier Field was just it was a picture perfect day. The fans were so geared up. It was a playoff like atmosphere, and the Bears went flop. Like, we thought this is the time. Like, the new quarterback, Justin Fields' third year, this is the time where the rivalry is going to change. And the Bears got their ass kicked, and it was more of the same. Mm-hmm. So, the difference between your analogy of athletes in action and Marathon Oil, the old school exhibition games, is the Bears aren't them. The Bears may play like them at times. The Bears are the name brand. The Bears are, so who is like one of the teams that Alabama in the SEC has dominated for years? The Bears are one of those teams.
Vanderbilt.
They're bigger than Vanderbilt. Like, they've got a bigger name than Vandy. They have just been dominated. I'm not here to
start no trouble.
I'm just here to do the 0-11 shuffle. I'm not going to bat for the Bears. I'm saying that they're a big brand. They're a big company. They're the charter franchise. They just have sucked. So it's not like beating some 1AA school at the beginning of the year.
I know.
I would say this. I would say this. If I'm a Bear fan, I don't care if they lose both games to the Green Bay Packers. They can lose by 50. I want to make the playoffs. I make the playoffs. I tell you right now, if I was a Bear, I make the playoffs. I don't care if they lose to the Packers by 100 points each game if this team makes the playoffs. That's all that matters. It's all that matters about any season. So get killed by the Packers. So what? Just win enough games to make the playoffs.
I'm with you there. Like, when I hear when I hear the old school talk about, I don't care if the Bears go lose 15 games as long as they beat the Packers twice.
Uh-huh.
I hate that. Like, that's where you lose me. Like, if you do get dominated by the Packers and the Bears still go 11-6, then I'm happy. If you get to the postseason this year for the Bears, I eventually want to start winning this rivalry again. It sucks. Those same storylines suck. So that's where I do meet you halfway, Wilde. But I don't want to say, like, if I have my dream is not to win half the time against the Packers. My dream is to go back to the 80s and to dominate the rivalry like you guys have for the last 30 years.
Yeah, I understand I'm wired differently, but I think back to, like, didn't the Packers Bears opened the season on Thursday Night Football for like the 100th season, right?
Yes.
And I don't, if I remember right, it wasn't really a very good game, low scoring. But then there was the year that they fall behind 20-0. Rodgers injures his knee, comes back, and
that was 18.
Yeah. So there have been compelling moments, but again, if I'm the NFL, forget about you guys. You guys have made your positions clear. People that are unaffiliated with the rivalry that aren't either Packers fans or Bears fans, I'll tell you this. You know who wants this to be a great rivalry?
Yes.
Roger Goodell and everyone who's in charge of TV networks and programming, because I have spent prime time. I spent New Year's 2006 or 2005 in the press box at Soldier Field, and the Packers weren't going anywhere, right? They were playing the Bears. They were playing out the string. The Bears were a Super Bowl team. I know, crazy to think. And it wasn't compelling that way either. Like, the Bears had nothing to play for. Or they didn't play. I mean, when you're resting Rex Grossman, that's not compelling either to me. And so the idea of these teams both being good simultaneously, I am going to die on this hill. I'm not going to back down. I know I'm not a fan, so I know it doesn't make sense to a lot of people. I know I'll get slaughtered in a poll question about this.
But that's a different story, Wildy. Like, you're bringing up, now I'm buying what you're selling. Like, when they schedule Bears and Packers year after year on national TV, if I'm anywhere else besides Green Bay or Chicago, I am sick of getting the game scheduled as a football fan, because I know the outcome. I know the way things have gone. I would want the Bears and the Packers to be good. I want more Ravens and Steelers type games where it's more of an up for grabs rivalry, like in the AFC North instead of the NFC North. That's what I want. I'm tired. Like, I'm on Twitter every now and then apologizing to the nation for more Bears nationally televised games, because they do have the name brand. They do get scheduled for these nationally televised games. And I'm hoping this is the year, with Caleb and the Bears being good, where they finally start playing up to the hype.
Homer, I don't think I won you over. I know you've got God talk to do today.
But I do want to mention to Sylvie, Craig Counsell's a fine manager. His greatness is 162 games. He's a machine, was his players, as a manager. Your problem is with your GM. But you can't have a better regular season manager in baseball than Craig Counsell. And as far as the playoffs, then maybe you'll have some questions. But your GM's, he's the problem this year to this point. And Counsell's done it in Milwaukee, or Benedict Arnold, as I now refer to him. Benedict Arnold has had some spectacular Septembers for the Brewers, and he could do the same for the Cubs, though.
Homer, you're right about being a machine, because he acts like a robot sometimes in that dugout. I don't know if he has any emotion.
He does, but yeah, he's purposely boring. I don't know if he stole that from Belichick, but yes. Why a manager has to talk to the media every day is insane. But
twice
they do, so he makes it so boring that you really. I had a chance to have him on as a guest. I said no.
Oh wow!
What?
Yeah. What did you used to call Jamie from that TV show? Yeah, I said I don't want to have him.
Ari Gold.
Boring.
We called him
Ari Gold. Ask Ari Gold. Said, I don't want him. He's too boring. Good manager, okay. But just boring.
Okay. All
and he's
right.
proven me right for Sylvie. Sylvie, how boring is he as an interview?
Again, like, he talks about the pockets, always talking about the pockets, time to bring in the reliever. This was the pocket. Like, and if they win, I guess, like, again, the Belichick stuff plays if you win. But as soon as Belichick doesn't win, no one's got time for Belichick.
Right, but the difference is you've got 162 games to do this stuff. You don't want somebody who's up and down. It's just too much.
Well, right. So there's a happy medium.
He's figured out. If you don't like him, call Bob Brenly or whoever, says he's the greatest baseball person in the history of the world or whatever. And that's because every day he comes with an energy and an excitement about the game, though you don't see it, and that's impossible for a normal human to do. But he's not normal.
I'm still recovering from the fact that you turn – like,
it's
you're
a content
the
call topic. Yeah. I hope Evan's listening, that, and we could have this on a content call and discuss that. If the manager, I think Evan would agree with you, actually. If it's not compelling radio, you don't put on the guest no matter who he is.
Well, this was for a regular basis to have him on every now and then. And I think he's very smart. He's got a college degree in accounting, and people that have a college degree in accounting are generally very smart. I like everything about him, but as a regular guest, he's horrible. And he chooses to be horrible. There may be other topics to ask him about that he might be interesting, but baseball isn't one on a weekly basis.
And on the other hand, Craig Counsell is elected to not come on the Waddle and Sylvie show ever. So we're still
really?
Trying to, yes.
Why? What'd you do to irritate him?
I don't know, Homer. Maybe you may. I don't know if you, now that you're calling him Benedict Arnold, you
sabotage.
Can't put in a good word for us, but. He wants no part of the Waddle and Sylvie show for whatever reasons. Jesse Rogers, who he had it out with about a week and a half ago, has tried in spring training, has tried before games, and it just hasn't flown.
So, what did you guys say? He's horrible. What? I mean,
I was on his bandwagon, and that's why I'm very disappointed so far.
About 45 minutes ago, you said he was horrible.
I didn't say he was horrible, Jesse.
Hey, you shouldn't be bothered. He did you a favor.
Okay.
Given what you've heard elsewhere, do you really want him on?
Yes. Yes. I want to know stuff.
Why?
Well,
why?
Because when you have questions that you don't have answers to.
Yeah, he's going to give you a boring answer.
Let him do that. But I would still like to find out the answers to questions that I have.
Right. He'll give them to you. And then people go, why? I don't know. Okay. I think he's doing you a favor.
Okay. All right. We'll reconvene after we finally get him in 2026, if he's still the manager.
All right.
I believe he will be. But as long as your GM does the job, which he must believe in, or he never would have taken it. There's no way Counsell goes there unless he believes that your GM does the job. He's smart enough to know his own limitations.
He's on the hot seat, Jed is. That's for sure.
So,
Homer, I challenge you to have Craig Counsell on the show because as such an expert interviewer, I believe you'll be able to get entertaining content out of him.
No, yeah. No, mm-hmm. It's not possible. No, he will not do it. And you ask Ari Gold if, in fact, that isn't true, that he said, you want to? Nope, I don't.
I will text Jamie Glenberg right now, our longtime friend.
I didn't use his name. Now you use his name. He doesn't need to be a part of this. You said Ari Gold. Well, what made you use his name?
Because that's his name's not Ari Gold.
Fine, bye.
Something. That's the first time I think I've ever talked to Homer.
Like at all? Like not even like in like person, not on the air.
I don't think I've ever met him. I don't think I've ever. I don't think we've ever talked because you know we've always had you on. You know, and that's been a sore spot. Yeah, that's yeah. I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Domofsky sometimes. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We like Rob. We like Rob.
We do. I like Rob too. Matt LaFleur is at the podium inside the Lambeau Field Media Auditorium. We'll let you know what he has to say as we get ready for a very hot practice at Ray Nitschke Field a little bit later this morning. We'll talk about that. Sylvie's air quotes. Ban on discussing Craig Counsell and the Cubs has
didn't go well.
Really going well for him. More with Waddle and Sylvie on Wilde and Tausch next. So stick around.
What's up, Madison? It's head coach Kelly Sheffield.
Wisconsin proved they were the number one team in the country tonight.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Wisconsin Badger Volleyball, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Give him
Homer, glad he finally got to sort of meet Sylvie. I had this thought while I was listening to you. So the Packers have owned the Bears to the point that Aaron Rodgers was making wisecracks about his ownership of the franchise. The Cubs are obviously struggling. The White Sox very much struggling. The Bears still searching for the success that was so enjoyable during the 90s, during the Jordan era. Are Chicago fans paying for the curse of the Billy Goat finally being broken and for having the greatest player in all of team sports in Michael Jordan for as long as I like? Is this karma? And do you think this will ever end after those two things happen to make you guys happy?
It's a good point. Like it's like what's the phrase about,
Josh Allen.
No. Paying the devil or something like that, like a deal with the devil, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we made the deal with the devil for Michael Jordan, you know, and or like an even Steven type of thing that Seinfeld used to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to curse you for 108 years of no winning, but we're going to even it up by giving you the greatest athlete of all time, and you're going to win 6 championships in 8 years, you know, and you're going to then go 30 years without winning against the Packers, basically. But we're also going to give you a team that wins 3 Stanley Cups in a 5-year, mm-hmm. 6-year span. So, but yeah, I've thought, you know, the watching Jordan, watching Michael, and I grew up in a family that had Bulls season tickets. I was very, very lucky. So my grandfather was a Bulls inaugural season ticket holder. The Bulls came into existence in 1966-67 in a place called the Chicago Amphitheater. That's where they first started. They didn't start in the Chicago Stadium. And then they eventually moved to the Chicago Stadium. I was born in 71. And when the Bulls, when I was born, the Bulls weren't great. Dick Motta came, and then they did get good with Jerry Sloan and Norm Van Leer, and they got close to winning a title. But because, like, the NBA wasn't so big and the Bulls weren't winning, we had floor seats. So my grandfather would take me to Bulls games in the 70s and the 80s, and we sat on the floor. So I was very, very lucky. And when Michael was drafted in 84, eventually our seats became fifth row, even with one of the baselines of the basket. And those were our seats throughout then the late 80s into the early 90s. So the first 3 championships I watched as a fan, and then the last 3 championships is when I started my journalism career, and I was working for WGN Radio, and I covered the last 3 championships as a reporter on a daily basis. So I have the unique perspective of, like you say, Wildy, of watching half the championships as a fan and as like a psycho fan, and the other 3 championships covering those on a daily basis. Practices. I was in Salt Lake City when Michael hit the shot. Mm-hmm. I was in Seattle when he came back and they won. I was in Milwaukee when they won their 70th game to break the then record of the Lakers. So I was with the Bulls a lot as a reporter for the last 3 championships. And getting back to your point, I've often thought about that, if Chicago sports has paid sort of a toll for having Michael Jordan and the Bulls for those championships.
Sure feels like it, but hey, maybe Caleb Williams is the next Michael Jordan, and I'll be happy if he is, but Packers fans will not. All right, we'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour with Mark Silverman in as our cousin sub of the day for Tausch Cousin Subs. We believe in better. Matt LaFleur just got done at the podium. Packers with a practice that will kick off at 10:30. And he's talking about how hot it's going to be out there. It's a gut check.
Did he talk about how hot he's been against the Bears?
He was not discussing that, no. But
that's too bad.
Way to get that in there. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour with some Packers talk in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Sylvie.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.